Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the teachers.
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network and the Holy Spirit. Hello, everyone. This is Saint Rick coming to you on this beautiful Sunday. I am excited about today's show because we're going to learn something about the wonderful awesomeness of God and his incredible nature and his love for each and every one of us around the entire world. With me, I have my partner, and that's Saint Albert. Welcome once again, St. Albert, as we get started on this beautiful day and this wonderful show that God has planned for us that we have titled for you today, God's Love is Not Limited. That is true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is true, Rick. And let me tell you, sometimes we could be blinded to it, and sometimes we could think the wrong things about it or not see it. And right now, let me make this straight. We're not going to be talking about salvation. What we're talking about is how God loves the world, including the Christians and the unsafe, and everything that he does for us. God's personality is never to do evil to us. It is to do good to us. You know, sometimes in churches, we teach that we have to do certain things or believe very strong about what we're doing, about God's curing and all that. And yes, you know, it's good to believe. It's good to have a positive aspect as to maybe even healing, you know, because he does do it that way. There's occasions in the Bible that he does do it that way, but there's occasions in the Bible that he doesn't do it that way, that the person doesn't even believe in him, and he still shows his goodness through that person. You know, one of the best ways to explain this or just to show just the first aspect of God is, you know, the Bible says that creation is a witness of him, and creation is all over the place. I mean, you go anywhere you go, and there's trees and the world and the water and the air. All those things are goodnesses of God towards man, whether you're safe or whether you're not safe, whether you believe him or whether you don't believe him. But check this out. There's some people that even though all this is around them, okay, they don't believe it, but it's there. You know, the air is there, the trees are there, the ground is there, the rain is there, all those goodnesses that God has given man even before man believed, even before man was created, he did that for man. But yet there's some people that are blinded to that. And some people are blinded because they choose. Some people are blinded because of the devil. Hiding all this, or because of religion, you know, there's many aspects of why people are blinded to this. But you know, just because a person doesn't believe, or doesn't ask, or doesn't see, doesn't change the truth of God's goodness, of what he has worked in this world, of what, you know, of what he has done in this world. I mean, even in our salvation, when we were first, you know, when we were still sinners, that means that we did not believe in God, but we didn't even trust in God. He came and he died for us. He did goodness for us all the time.
Well, that's what, yeah. You said something really, really important. You said that even though you may not see it or believe it, it doesn't make it untrue. So let's take a recent situation that has occurred. People who believed that it was impossible for Donald Trump to become president, They could have never imagined that in their wildest dreams. There was no way that was going to occur. But it did. Didn't change the truth. Didn't change the facts. Didn't change what happened. If you get up one day and you leave, there was no way you're thinking about you're going to be in an automobile accident.
You're right,
it's Rick. not possible. But then you end up in an automobile accident and it didn't change the truth that you were. That's kind of how I see what you were saying there with God, because the fact that you don't believe he's loving, the fact that you don't believe that he's kind, the fact that you don't believe that he's merciful, the fact that you may not even believe in him doesn't change the fact that it's true. Matter of fact, let's use this example. What's easier to believe? Option A, that by accident, this thing explodes out of nothingness, creates all the stars, the sun, the galaxy, the earth, the waters in the earth, the oxygen is just perfect. And then this little primordial soup makes contact with these other enzymes, and then it turns into this living thing out of nothingness. And then this nothingness, little living creature, figures out how to crawl out of the primordial soup, and then it sprouts legs, and then it starts to walk, starts to eat, learns how to survive, survives on its own, then grows into a monkey, then grows into a bigger monkey, and then grows into an ape, and grows into a bigger ape, and then grows into a bigger ape, and then finally it looks somewhat like a human, and then it becomes more human, and then it develops more intelligence, and then it develops more intelligence, and then wisdom, and then learns how to do all this stuff. And oh, by the way, that big explosion just happened to be so perfect that everybody could breathe, everybody could live, everybody could eat, the right water was supplied for them, the right food was supplied for them, the right minerals were supplied so that we could survive. That's option A. Option B, some incredible, beyond our scope intelligence, loving person says, I'm going to develop this perfect place for my children. And I'm going to love them. Yeah, they're going to make a lot of mistakes. But that's part of the basic instructions before leaving Earth, Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. They're going to learn and they're going to grow. And I'm going to have a relationship with them and I'm going to love them and I'm going to be caring for them. And I better put the right amount of water, the right amount of air, the right amount of oxygen. I'm going to make animals of all kinds so that they can have an incredible adventure while they're there. They're going to be able to create things. I better put enough minerals on this planet so that they can create all this stuff. And they can also, they need to be able to have children so that they can feel what it's like to love like I love them. And then we're going to do all that. Which one makes more sense?
No. One rejects his love, and the other one emphasizes his love. And you know, Rick, amen. even through his people, this rejection of his love occurs. You know, in the Old Testament, you see Jesus Christ with his disciples curing people and helping people. And every time they went to some person that Jesus Christ was going to cure, you know what was the first thing that they said? What did this person or his family do that he deserves such, you know, such a damnation and that disease that he has? What did he did that God punished them? You see, and we laugh and all that, but we still do it, and we still do it in the new covenant, and the new covenant is we take it the same. Some people take it to the same extreme. What did that guy do that his house was taken away, or that his loved one died because of disease, or this or that? You know, and the first thing they do is that they blame it on. Really, what they're doing is that they blame it on God, because what they're really saying is God is not loving. He's gonna punish you as a reaction of something that you did, and that's not God. I mean, this world is imperfect and things happen, but that's not God. God is always blessing. In fact, he says, you know, my Father is always working. What is his Father working on? He's working on us. Mm-hmm. He's always working on us for the good of us. You know, it's a shame that we think this way. And not just in that, you know, even in little things. Or if we don't fast, he's going to cut out on some stuff. If we don't do this, he's going to cut out. Not that fasting is bad or you know, all the other things that the Lord has given us, the Lord's Supper, the baptism. Those things are not bad. But God is not bound by those things. For his love has
no boundaries.
It has no boundaries in us. And whether you believe or not, that doesn't close his boundaries on people. I mean, there's some, you know, it's funny that every time they say, what did that person do wrong with God? It's funny that they don't look at people who are super rich and have a super life and say, what has that person done right with God? And it's a person who doesn't even know God or even acknowledge God, and he's still rich and he has a lavish God.
And for those of you out there listening, keep in mind, we have nothing against the rich or nothing against the poor. And being rich or being poor has nothing to do with your relationship with Christ. But he's just using this as an example that if you run along someone that is very rich and doesn't know God, how did he get blessed so much to be that way? How did God love him so much to still allow him to experience those things? You know, God loves us beyond our understanding. So let's start off with John 3:16. One, many people already know this verse, but many of you may not that are listening for the first time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. First of all, who did he love?
The world.
The world. Everybody. That's everybody in it. That he gave his only begotten son. How many of you love the rest of the world around you, even your neighbors on your street, enough that you're ready to give up your only son because you love them so much? We can't even comprehend that kind of love. And then he says that whoever believes in him should not perish. So God isn't making this unconditional. He's making a conditional statement right here. He's saying that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Now, this is dealing with salvation. So a lot of what we're going to talk about today is not salvation contingent. So it's not based upon salvation, but it's based upon just his character to love people, even though they may have not accepted him or his son at this point. He loves everybody. So he loved the whole world that he gave his only son. So he didn't say, now, I'm only going to give my son for those who believe in me. He loved the world that he gave his only son. But now that I've given him, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And when you look at that word might, I do want to show you this, that the world that through him, the world condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If we look at that, sozo, to save, to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment, to save from the evils which obstruct the reception of the messianic deliverance, to save a suffering from perishing, one suffering. It is, the word might was added. So I want to get that across. The word might, so that you might be saved. That wasn't even there. It was the word saved. So in other words, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him be saved. That word should not even be there, according to the Greek. So anyway, I wanted to get that out there. That's what we're talking about today, is the love of God. Now, you had some verses in chapter 5 you wanted to go through on a story. Is that right?
Yeah, and just a little point before I do those verses. You know, it's amazing that, you know, God tells us as Christians to love one another, mm-hmm. to love even your enemies, okay?
right.
to do good to your enemies. For if somebody does you wrong, to do good back to them, not to do wrong. So that is the character of God. But when we look at that and when we hear that, what we think is that that's only for us, but it's not for God. If God has enemies, what he should do is squash them like a little bug. If God has enemies, what he should do is if the enemies do him wrong, he's going to do back wrong to the enemies. You see? It's what all those verses that he said, it was only for man. It wasn't for himself, you know? Well, that's not true. When he tells something to man, it's because that's his character too. So if he tells man that we ought to love our enemies, that means that he loves his enemies. When he tells man that we shouldn't return wrong for wrong, that means that he will never return wrong for wrong. You see? So anyways, that's just a little thought on that. But let's look at some things, you know, that people that that here Jesus cures, and they did not have any faith. Here is the man that Jesus heals that was in the pool, and Rick, if you wanna
sure. It says, after this it was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, stirred the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So he had a long time. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he says unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus says unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. Is it not lawful for thee to carry thy bed? He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is it that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he said, and he that was healed was not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, multitude being in that place. So Jesus left. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and says unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus that had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father works hitherto and I work. Therefore the Jews sought more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father rises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honors not the Father which has sent him.
Now, you see, this man, didn't even know who Christ was. He didn't even believe that Christ was God, and he still got cured. Now, there's a point there where it says, go and sin no more, or something worse will happen to you. Well, what can be worse than the position that man was, that he was crippled for all those years, and nobody wanted to deal with him and all that? Well, here's what he's talking about there. This man still didn't have any faith. What could be worse than being in the condition that man was? It's the second death. That's what could be worse. So what Jesus was actually telling him is who he was in that moment. You know, you saw me that I cure you. Have you seen any other person here around you that could do that? Huh? You see the authority that I had here. Huh? I cured you. So believe. In fact, he says that to other people around. And there's all the stories, Acts 3, for whoever wants to go in there, when Paul and Peter goes into the temple and the blind man there asking for money, you know, and Paul and Peter tells him that they had no money, but that they could help him in his cureness. That person didn't even know about Christ. He didn't even know who Christ was. He didn't know who Peter was. He got cured. Now, don't get me wrong. This doesn't always happen. And what we're getting at here is that regardless of the faith of the person or the belief or you know, whatever the person is doing, regardless of that, God does as he chooses. There's other instances, like in Luke 7:1, where a centurion comes to Jesus, and because of his faith, his servant was cured. You know, and I don't know if you want to read the whole thing, but that's basically what was happening there. Here comes a centurion. Here's Jesus with the disciples, and the centurion comes and tells him about his servant that is ill, dying, and tells Jesus, to if he could go and cure his servant, and Jesus tells him, go, he will be cured. And the servant believes him and goes back. And now, mind you, his disciples are right next to him, and he's telling the disciples and everybody that this man had more faith than even them.
Yeah. There's only two people in the Bible that he said that have great faith, and he was one of them. And he was one of them that he had not seen such faith as thee, because he was a warrior, and he knew, if you said it be so, sir, then it's so. And his son was cured, you know, completely. So that's love beyond what most people normally subscribe the love of God to, because they think it's only just for Christians. They think it's only just for those who've been saved. He loves everyone. He loves all of his children. So if you have a gift for your child, and you have a special gift you've made for all your children that you have, and not everybody comes and gets it, does that mean you don't love them? No. So everybody you still have this gift for everyone that they have to take, and they have to take with them, and they have to get it. But one of them is not showing up to get their gift. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Matter of fact, it has nothing to do. They're not even tied. The gift is something that you've already got. It's already been planned before the foundations of the earth. You know, the whole plan of salvation was already there. And so they haven't come and got it. Let's look at Romans. We're going to go into Romans 5:8 here. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God commends his love towards us. In other words, God shows his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So even while we were ugly and nasty and, you know, horrible and all that, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So not just are we justified by his blood, but we shall be saved from wrath through him. So that's how much he loves us as well. Also, I like Galatians 2:20. We're going to go to, whoops, let me see here. get Galatians up here.
Well, you're getting that. Let me talk about that. You know, and this is something that probably a lot of you will say, what is it talking about? But, you know, in the world, like we said, we have believers and unbelievers. Jesus Christ, when he dies for those sins, he dies for the sins of the unbelievers. The unbelievers, whether they believe it or not, their sins are not accounted towards them. This, what's accounted towards the world is unbelief, is faith. So whether an unbeliever says, oh, Jesus Christ did not die for my sins, it doesn't matter because his sins are not accounted towards him. It's not accounted towards him nor the believer. The only sin that is accounted towards the world is the sin of unbelief. And the reason, why the sins are not accounted to the believer or the unbeliever is basic, is because Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he nailed the law, which was against man, not against the Christians, against man, against everybody, on that cross, and the sins are not being held against anybody, whether you are a believer or not. Now, the only thing, again, that is being held against people at this moment in this new covenant is the sin of unbelief. If you don't believe in Christ, his life is not in you. His is not accounted towards you. His life is not accounted towards you. And what you're doing is you're walking with a clean glass, but empty inside. That's the only difference between a believer and an unbeliever. An unbeliever is walking with an empty glass that's clean. A believer has a clean glass that's overflowing with the Holy Spirit. God's love is in you, and it's overflowing.
Yeah. It is. It's more than overflowing. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ by grace. So we are together with Christ by grace, and that's it. I mean, it's that simple. We have someone that who stands in for us, who loves us so much that we did nothing. So the sins of the whole world were paid for, but not everybody's come and got their glass filled up. How do you get your glass filled up? Well, you do it by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. I implore you, if you have not, do so now. All you have to do is repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son to die on the cross for me. I believe upon the name of Jesus Christ that he died for me, that he was buried, and that he rose to life and was victorious over death by your great love. I believe it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you said that prayer right now, multitudes of angels around the world are singing, around the heavens are singing. They're just right now rejoicing over the fact that you joined the family. What do you have to do now? You don't have to do anything. Just believe. And for those of you teachers who teach they have to do something, or they have to be better, or they're not good enough, woe unto you. Because I think you're going to be held to a little bit different standard. But for the rest of you, we want to thank you and spread the word, GodNewsNetwork.com, GodNewsNetwork.com, and spread it to around the world, to all the people that you know, that they can come here and get the truth each and every week. Why? Because this is where Christ is preached. And remember, the saints are rising.